Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. This is going to be a quick one because I'm in mourning. My Knicks season ended quite inauspiciously, if I'm using that term correctly. I got laid out by the Heat again on LeBron James. And blah. So, bad taste.
Put Rudy in the game.
What's that?
You should have put Rudy in the game.
That would
get
have
Rudy
helped.
Out there.
Get Rudy. Like the whole squad of those, you know, Jimmy Chitwood out there from Hoosiers, Rudy, Kevin Costner's character, I guess, from Field of Dreams. Get them all in there.
Air Bud, probably.
Air Bud. I'll take Air Bud. Air Bud. I'll take Air Bud right now over Amari.
The dog can play basketball, Dave.
I know.
The dog can play basketball.
We'll take him. Maybe he can coach next year, too. Maybe we can play coach. All right. Well, so let's move on. I'm depressing myself just talking about the game that ended 90 seconds ago. So let's get right to it. Mac, why don't you just talk to us about a little indie movie you saw last weekend.
A little indie movie. I don't know if we can call this one indie. I think the studio might have financed at least part of it. We're talking about The Avengers. This is the big event movie that everybody's been talking about. not sure what I can say that the rest of the world isn't already saying. And I'm also going to try to keep this spoiler-free in case our listeners haven't seen it yet. But yes, I am the big comic book guy, and Avengers are a big favorite of mine, read throughout the years. So, of course, I was hurried and went to see the movie, and I really liked it. I had a really great time at the theater, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it again.
When's that happening?
Again, probably this weekend. I'm not sure yet.
How were the crowds?
Crowds were pretty cool. They were really into the movie. There was some cheering and stuff, but not like obnoxiously. You know, it was
like
good.
Pom poms and stuff.
No. They're very enthusiastic about it. There was a guy in the crowd wearing a Captain America mask.
Very good.
So that was not me, by the way. That was some other guy.
So without getting too spoilery, I heard that the Hulk is a highlight in this movie.
Yeah, I guess I threw together a quick list here of some out there, the highlights. The Hulk is he's the big scene stealer. There's quite a lot of time before we meet Bruce Banner early on, but there's a really long stretch of time before he turns into the Hulk, and when he does, it's really a huge moment. And then during the big finale, in some of the other Marvel movies, the action has been a little on the low-key side because they're trying to emphasize the characters, and that was a complaint that a lot of people have had. But in this movie, the action is big. This is just big, big blockbuster action. And then the final third of the movie, and the Hulk has all kinds of just cool, you know, awesome moments as he's just destroying everything in sight during the big finale. And he's the scene stealer. He runs away with the show. I also really liked what they did with Captain America. They really kept him as being just the stalwart good guy. You know, he's the nice guy on the team, and they really
does he finish last?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
But they maintain that, you know, he's the good guy. He's the nice guy, and they do that without making him boring and without making him uninteresting. It's a really fine line to walk, but I think they really did a good job with it. And he even gets one or two humorous lines as well. One of my concerns going into the movie was that it would just be the Iron Man and Captain America show, and that my guy Thor wouldn't have any good scenes. But Thor maybe doesn't have as much screen time as the other guys, but he does get in some really cool stuff. He's got some good lines. Like Cap, he's kind of the fish out of water character, and we see him really cut loose with his hammer and with his awesome strength in ways that we didn't get to see so much in the Thor movie. And he really cuts loose with his powers, and it's really cool to see.
Because that Thor movie, 90% of it was him depowered, it seemed.
That's true, yeah. But that was necessary because we got to know him as a character.
Of course.
Which is what I'm saying. So, you know. you've seen on the ads already, so it's not a spoiler to say that the Avengers do fight each other at a point in the movie. And those were some of Thor's coolest moments, I thought, was during those fights. And again, just seeing him really cut loose and really go for it was just super exciting. I loved his intro too. The first shot when the first time we see him in the movie is something really cool. I won't ruin it, but that was a stand up and cheer moment for me. I didn't actually stand up and cheer, but I wanted to. What else we got? Robert Downey Jr. continues to be great as Iron Man. He just really nails the character. He's got it down, and he's got a real knack for Joss Whedon's dialogue too. He rattles off a lot of Whedon's one-liners. Actually, Whedon co-wrote the script with, oh crap, I forget who the co-writer was. I'm sorry, fans. But anyway, he rattles off the funny lines from the script, one after another after the other. He's got a lot of great one-liners. And he gets some really awesome hero moments as well. And we see some cool new tech and new weapons for the Iron Man armor, which is pretty sweet. Let's see, who's next on my list? I guess Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson. She did good. She was really good. I'm not quite sure I bought her as a Russian. There's no accent there. But that's all right. That's all right. You know, if Costner can be British, she can be Russian. And she was good. She gets some real character moments. We learn about her past.
Did she shoot people with her 9mm?
Oh, yeah. All kinds of bad guys go down with that, thanks to that little gun. Yeah. It packs a wallop. And we get to know her a little bit about her past and stuff, so that was good. So she's not just the token girl. She has some really interesting moments and some real character development. And it's kind of through her eyes that we see the other members of the team. So if you've never seen any of the other Marvel movies before coming into this one, I think Black Widow, she's kind of the audience surrogate character. So she's kind of meeting the rest of the team. Let's see. Samuel Jackson is Nick Fury. He's good. He doesn't have that much to do. He kind of just sort of barks orders and stuff, but he's Samuel Jackson. We all like him. He's great. And it's not too much of a spoiler to say that Hawkeye doesn't have as much to do as the other guys. But was anyone really going into this movie thinking that, you know, of all of these characters, Hawkeye was going to be the big star of the movie? I think we all knew going in that he was going to be the support guy, right?
That's going to be for the MASH movie.
Oh, is that? but he's good. He does. We don't really get to know him until late in the movie, just because of circumstances I won't spoil. But once we do, Jeremy Renner, he gets some good scenes, and he gets a few cool hero moments as well. And his tech is really cool. The way his quiver works with all the gadgets on it, well, that was pretty sweet. So he does all right. So that's my list of all seven Avengers and what I thought of them.
All right, very good. So where does it rank as far as comic book movies overall?
Wow. hard to say since it's still fresh in my mind. But I'd say it's definitely up there. It's definitely, as of right now, it's one of my favorites. For years I've said that no one's ever really done, no one's really done Jack Kirby-style action on the big screen. Kirby was Stan Lee's co-creator for a lot of the classic Marvel comics, and everything Kirby did was just big. You know, he just did big, huge action. And the saying is that, you know, no one walks through a door in a Kirby comic. They jumped through the door, you know, because everything is just so huge and so action-packed. And he kind of gave superhero comic books their vocabulary. And I've always said no one's really done Jack Kirby action in a movie, just because it's so big and it's so huge. And Avengers is really the closest thing we've come so far, because the final third of the movie, it's just action, 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 and it escalates and it builds and builds and builds and builds. And unlike some other movies, we can actually tell what's going on in this one. Despite all the craziness, we can follow who is where and what's going on and stuff. It actually moves the story forward.
All right. Very good. Very good. Thanks, Mac. Thank you for that. I know something you've been looking forward to for a while.
So. Indeed. Yeah, and I really got a kick out of it.
All right. Well, I'm going to cede the balance of my time to Eric.
I accept your sedation.
Sure.
I'm going to keep the comic book thing going, actually, for a minute, because this past Saturday I went to my first ever free comic book day.
Nice.
Yeah, I heard about it for a long time. There aren't any shops right near where I live, but there are a couple shops in Ithaca, not too far away, and we were in town anyway, so I stopped by it got, I don't know, a huge stack of free stuff. Like, you know, it was like they were giving like 40 books or something. And it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun looking through them. There's stuff for, you know, the older crowd and even stuff for a younger crowd. My daughter and I got to sit down and read a Yo Gabba Gabba comic book together, which was pretty great. And I also read, there was a free issue that ties into the New 52. And not knowing anything about any of those books, I was kind of lost as to what was going on. But apparently this is a big deal because it kicks off the first major event of the New 52. Mac, you may be familiar with all this already.
The first, there's two big crossovers going on in New 52. There's the Batman one, which is Night of the Owls. And then there's the Teen Titan one is called The Culling.
This is like their big major. This is the Trinity War.
Oh,
am I breaking news to Mac McIntyre? I doubt it. But anyway, they tease it in this book. Apparently, you know, going back and reading some stuff after the fact, it's sort of the prologue that kicks off that event later on. I guess sometime later.
Oh, okay.
And also, was there like page previews? Of the six new books that are coming out, I guess to replace six ones that they canceled. I've been reading a lot of comic books this week because I'm kind of back on a bit of a kick. I even ordered another thing about that comic book, the 52 comic book, was that it mentioned all the first volumes, the collection volumes, the trade paperbacks of the books that launched last year are starting to come out starting this month through the end of the year. So I actually just got in the mail today, Animal Man, Volume 1. So I'm looking forward to reading that because I read good things about it. No, nothing about the character, but it got a lot of good reviews.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's really trippy, but it's good.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I keep reading things about, yeah, it's like a horror comic in places, which kind of intrigued me. And I was going to ask you, Mac, what else would you recommend? I'm actually getting Batman next week. It comes out, the Court of the Owls volume.
That's a really good one, too. I enjoy it.
Should be cool. Anything else I should keep my eye out for?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember. There's the guy who writes Animal Man is Jeff Lemire.
Right? Yeah.
He has one other New 52 book. I'm trying because there's him and Scott Snyder, and I always get the two of them confused because they write very similar styles.
Is Scott Snyder the one who does Swamp Thing?
Must be because I was just thinking of Swamp Thing. I guess that means Lemire does Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
Oh, okay. Is that good?
That one's good. That one's a little more sort of goofy, pop culture-y. It's not as serious as Animal Man.
Yeah.
Basically,
that's a great sentence. I'm glad you're able to say that on a podcast. Not as serious as Animal Man. Go on.
So it's you know, Frankenstein is like a secret agent working for this clandestine operation with these really far out science experiments, and he's reunited with the Creature Commandos, who are a bunch of monsters who are his partners. They travel into this other dimension where there's this like hell planet, and they have to fight a bunch of monsters. But it's funny though. It's humorous, tongue in cheek, I guess is the name. So
that's cool. pretty good. I'm interested in, you know, trying some different things. I mean, Batman obviously is just, you know, standard. I'll probably, you know, I think Superman doesn't come out or Action Comics doesn't come out until like the end of the year. I'll probably want to check it out just to see what they did because back in the day. I collected Superman comics for some reason. Like I had for like 2 or 3 years, I got all the Superman comic books. So I'll be interested to see what they did with him. Yeah, it'll be interesting to dip back in. I'm also sometime in the nearest future, I'm planning on getting an iPad, so I want to use the Comixology app to maybe start picking up some back issues cheap digitally. Yeah. So
I have that on my phone. It's real easy to use.
Yeah. So that's cool.
The thing about Action Comics. But Action Comics, they did like a really bizarre retelling of Superman's origin.
Is Action Comics the one where, you know, the cover of the first one, he's like short cape, short shirt, like running and jumping, he's not flying, that kind of thing?
Right, yeah. So that's kind of not the Superman you're used to, but it's kind of a different take on it. Yeah. And then the other one, which is just called Superman, is more of a sort of a classic take on the character.
Yeah, I know that the first volume of Justice League comes out this month too, so I might check that one out too. But
right. Yeah, that one's good. Not a lot of story in that one, but Jim Lee's art is great.
Okay, so there you go. So I am currently on the wagon. We'll see how long I last. But
the worst of the New 52, definitely Catwoman.
That's what I heard. I've heard that
they've turned her into a total slut.
So she's turned into like a Hollywood star who dresses up as Catwoman for Halloween, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to lightning round stuff we reviewed for the site. So I'll grant you 30 seconds apiece. All right? Ready? Go, Mac.
All right. I finished up the rest of Sherlock Season 2.
Yeah, and your overall reaction?
I really enjoyed it. I think they really kept up the quality and really worked hard to sort of push the characters as far as they could go while still making them recognizable as Holmes and Watson. And the big finale against Sherlock and Moriarty was really intense and really left me wondering where it's going to go next. So definitely enjoyed it.
All right. Eric?
This week I'm reviewing one of the single episode Mystery Science Theater re-releases, Girl in Gold Boots, which is a really good episode from the Sci-Fi Channel years with Mike and the bots, and I laughed a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is a really good one. So,
and I got nothing for it except Ninja Go Masters of Spinjitzu, a Lego cartoon. It's two episodes totaling 44 minutes, and it's terrible.
Oh, no. So that's with a title like that, it'd be great.
Yeah. It's terrible. So, and that's really the only thing of interest I have. So let's move on. Mac, what's coming up?
All right. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. Going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming releases tab, and we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for May 15th. Just talk about what's on the list. Let's see. We got big Hollywood releases. We have The Gray, which Eric has talked about.
Chronicle.
Yeah. And Chronicle.
Yeah, Chronicle. Yeah. I want to check that one out.
How about Albert Nobbs?
Glenn Close plays a butler.
Yes.
So now, is the character actually a guy, or is she playing a woman dressed
playing
as a
woman.
Guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That would be. That's what I first thought too. I was like, but that'd be even too. Isn't that like? Two Oscar Beatty for this or something
be.
Like that, you know?
And Oscar Beatty, of course, Ned Beatty's brother.
Yes. Well, it looks like a Wild Being John Malkovich release there.
Yeah, from Criterion.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ooh, The Devil Inside looks like a charming little picture. Dirty Blondes from Beyond.
Oh, One for the Money, based on the best-selling book.
Was it?
One for the Money.
Yeah, what's her name? Janet Ivanovich. She's written a whole
book. I can't believe you brought me towards that. That looked like the worst thing I would ever see in my life.
Really?
Stars your arch nemesis, Dave.
I hate Catherine Heigl. And did you see the trailers?
No.
Unbelievably terrible, yes.
Oh, really?
it's like opening up Derek of the Covenant or something. Terrible.
The books have huge fans.
They do. My wife is a huge fan.
Yeah, mine too.
I think she saw that too. She was not impressed, but wow. You know, I was thinking about this recently. I think Knocked Up really did a lot more harm than good overall. You know, it really launched Katherine Heigl's career, and it led to this sequel coming up with Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann. Have you seen the commercials for this?
No.
And it's another, the next Judd Apatow movie, sort of a sequel, starring the same characters from Knocked Up that Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann played. And I don't know who's clamoring for that particular sequel, especially because Leslie Mann was like the most annoying character that I've seen in so long. But I don't know. I guess someone was clamoring for it. So your
main criticism of Knocked Up is that it gave Katherine Heigl a movie career.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So you're not really criticizing the movie. I seem to remember liking the movie.
Knocked Up is a good movie. But in retrospect now, it may have done more harm than good. That's all I said.
She's like,
it did plenty of good. I laughed heartily at it. Not entirely at it, but in retrospect, I think the universe has been thrown out of balance because of what it brought to us.
Was it knocked out of orbit or something?
Moving on, double feature on Blu-ray, Predator and Predator 2. Not bad.
Although, wasn't the original Predator Blu-ray, the picture was messed up? It was like
one
all blurry
I had,
or something?
Then they did a follow-up, which was better.
Oh, did they? Okay.
The double dip was better. Yeah, I did. The one I reviewed was pretty unfortunate.
Was it just DNR'd to smithereens?
Is that yes. Like, do not resuscitate it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. All right.
Anything else?
I think that should do it.
Yeah, I guess not a ton. So, all right. Inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. Mac.
Oh boy.
Not a ton.
I got like four.
Oh, you do? Wow.
No, I got one.
All right.
Inside Nature's Giants.
That's a good one.
That's not on my list. All right, Eric.
I'll go with the Fanny by Gaslight.
All right, give me another one. Go. Your second one.
Look in Any Window.
Okay, number three.
Norwegian Wood.
Oh, that's good.
There you go.
Four?
Big Cats.
Okay.
No low hanging fruit.
That's good. I like the Norwegian one. I think that one's my favorite. All right, I'm just going to give you Grand Canyon and be on with it. Okay, well, could we laser through the ambush topics? Because I'm still trying to get over this Knicks loss, and I want to play Prototype 2 to really, like, take out some frustration.
So we're not enough to distract you? I mean, we're not. Yeah. This isn't a vacation. We just remind you of the Knicks.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I'm not even going to do an ambush topic. So I'm going to let you guys do two ambush topics that I'll participate in and passively listen to. I'll participate, but I've got nothing, really. What do you say?
Okay, that's fine.
Here you go. I do have one, and I'll start off right now. And here's the first one. Disappointing endings.
That should be super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go first. The 2011-2012 Knicks season.
Okay. I don't think you officially choose that until they put out like the DVD of the 2001.
That'd be a great DVD, I'm sure. So there's a lot of copies.
Yeah, this should be easier than it is.
Right, I'm trying. The problem is, I'd like to pick something by M. Night Shyamalan that isn't The Sixth Sense, or I guess or Unbreakable, but I don't think I've seen any of his other movies. I remember, like, I've Wikipedia'd most of them, so I know that, like, the end of The Village is terrible.
Ah, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But since you picked The Knicks, I'm picking that.
Okay, The End of The Village, which I haven't seen. Gotcha. No, that is terrible. I haven't seen
it. You're phoning it in tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Mac is the only one who did any kind of show prep or work for this interview. He actually had an itemized list.
A list that I wrote.
I talked about a sports season that no one cares about, and you just mentioned a movie.
I think you're forgetting my four inadvertently sleazy sounding DVDs.
Yeah, that's true. You did yeoman's work with that.
Thank you.
Mac, disappointing ending?
Man, let's see. A while back here at DVD Verdict, I reviewed a really crappy movie called Silver.
Okay.
And there was no ending. It just kind of stopped in the middle of a scene because I later looked it up and read online that the director simply ran out of money. So they just stopped the movie and tried to sell it on the premise that there would be sequels, but there never were any sequels. That was pretty bad.
It seems like it would be not true. It seems like if you run out of money, you don't just stop and not film an ending. I guess unless you're shooting chronological order, which, you know, poor planning on your part, but...
Well, I guess it doesn't stop, but it's like they edited it together to where they tried to throw it together so that it was a cliffhanger because they couldn't film their ending.
Okay. That was it. It sounds a bit like in Monty Python and the Holy Grail when they get to the writing in the cave and, you know, he carves Arg. That's where he must have died. But.
All right. Mac, go ahead.
Okay. If you guys are out of it, I'm afraid this...
I'm in it to win it.
No more Star Wars trivia.
So, a lot of movies have alternate titles, such as a working title that was changed before the film was released into something else. Or when it's released overseas, they change the title to something else. So, pick a movie and say, what would the alternate title be? Come up with an alternate title for a movie.
That's a lot of work.
I know.
An alternate title for a movie. How about this? We come up with the alternate title, and you have to guess what that movie is.
Oh, interesting.
That is it. That's good. Although that's more work, but that's fine. you've actually made it more complicated, but that's fine. I'm still with you.
Here's mine. Magic Acorns.
Oh, I know what this one is.
Okay, all right. I take it back. You didn't make it more complicated at all. You, in fact, made it so easy.
That's right.
Come on, Dave. Step up your game.
Ugh.
All right, Dave, then I'll give you, how about Man versus Thorg?
Oh, that's good. That's true. What you're saying, you're implying Thorg is not a man?
He's so much more than
a man. He is more than a man. Well, I don't think I'm serving your topic well here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was too complicated.
All right. Okay. Monster Tourist.
Monster Tourist, huh?
Yes.
Alien?
No. E.T.?
Monster? Not a tourist either.
He's kind of a tourist.
King Kong and or Godzilla?
No, but those are both okay, I guess.
They're touring their various cities.
But I'll give it to you. I was going for American Werewolf in London.
Oh.
That's good. Yeah, that's how you play the game, Dave.
Yes,
is there an actual game? Like, is this a board game that we're ripping off or not?
Oh, there is. What's the where
What's
they?
There? I mean,
they give you
taboo.
A topic and they give you five words.
That's taboo.
You have to describe the taboo. Yeah.
I don't know. This is more. You know, we're foreign film there. I think that there are so many similar taboo style board games out there right now. Or like Pictionary, whatever. Like, we should do this. It should be our game. We should the Friday filibuster branded
board game. Friday filibuster, the board game.
Yeah, we'll just like foreign film quiz, like film names. What was that called?
Do you remember in game shows they always gave out the board game version of the show to the losers of the game?
Oh,
show?
Yeah, I want those.
I actually did want those. I actually thought, man, that's kind of a cool gift. Even though I'm sure the losers didn't think so. But.
I mean, if only to see how they translated the game.
Right.
To a board game, to a game show to a board game.
Yeah, like double
I mean,
the board game.
Yeah, I mean, Jeopardy, okay, that makes sense. Pretty easy. Wheel of Fortune, I guess you gotta get like a little lifestyle spinning wheel, but, right, like, Treasures of the Hidden Temple?
Yes.
How's that a board game? I guess they didn't have a board game, they just had British Knight sneakers.
They did. That's enough for me, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Alright, Mac, can we... Flagged your ambush topic.
I think that pretty much killed that topic.
Okay. Actually,
this is a downer of a podcast.
Like it's a win if you can work in a British Knights reference, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
It's a win. Okay, Eric, why don't you see what you can salvage out of this?
Well, you know, I had a different ambush topic, but just, you know, just to raise your spirits, Dave. I want to build you up.
I need that.
Favorite Nicks. So, actors, characters, anyone named Nick.
Really,
Nick from Family Ties is pretty great.
Oh yeah, he's awesome.
Pretty good.
I don't remember the actor. I remember the last name. I remember very little except.
I believe Nick was played by Scott Valentine.
Oh, very nice! Wow, Family Ties geek barometer.
and in the episode when he and Mallory were supposed to get married, the song he wanted to play as they walked down the aisle was "Lola" by the Kinks.
Wow, impressive.
And these are, of course, all questions from my upcoming board game, Family Ties Trivia Express. You play the car. Just play the car. Just cards.
Hey, Dad, God's straight on the road, but listen to this question.
I can see the 80s-style commercial.
That's right. Na, 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 na. Every time you get an answer correct. Na, na, na. You win... Meredith Baxter's shoulder pads. What was the name of the blonde actress who played the daughter that no one really cared about?
Tina Yothers.
That's right, Tina Yothers. That's
right. Wait till you get to the liberal versus conservative bonus lightning round. Alex versus his parents.
Yeah.
The Reagan trivia alone.
Which broader?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Mac, you got some favorite Nicks?
Yeah, how about Nick Rivers from
Good.
Top Secret?
That's great. That's a great one.
I have a running gag where all the characters in Europe keep calling him Neek. And at one point, the girls are holding up signs with his name on it and spelled N-E-E-K.
Good. Top Secret, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
It is. Skeet surfing.
Skeet surfing.
I'm going to go with Nick the Lounge Singer, Bill Murray's character from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I never knew he had a name. I thought he was just a
Nick
singer.
I think his name is Nick. Was it? Well, he called it was Nick, and then Nick different things. It was Nick Summers. in one, maybe Nick Winter is another. They tend to be seasons, but yeah.
All right, here, how about one more round of Knicks?
Dave, I can think of one very obvious Nick that you, I know, are very fond of.
I had one, actually, and then I lost it.
I'm looking at him right now. I'm looking at you, looking at him.
Like you,
right now. Right? As you talk, I see his face.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's see here. Nick, you're talking about Nick Offerman.
I am talking about Nick Offerman.
Yes, that's right. Playing the wonderful, soulful Ron Swanson.
Are there any Knicks on Parks and Rec? There aren't, are there?
I don't think so. Did he? Actually, I heard Nick Offerman doing a voiceover for a commercial. I'm trying to remember what it was. Have you ever seen the commercial, the Nick Offerman voiceover commercial yet?
No. Unless the commercial's not on Hulu, chances are.
No. That's true. That's a good point. I don't recall it being anything like, you know, like a spiced meat stick or anything that you would think Ron Swanson would do. So, it also wasn't tampons, so that, yeah.
I mean, an investment portfolio?
Yeah, maybe.
Of some sort.
That's true. It's a good get, though, for voiceover, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I also throw a Nick from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yeah. The Jason.
Before Judd Apatow unleashed the bowls of
See, Dave, look at how many great Knicks there are in the world.
That's true.
You know, I'm saying you're surrounded by Knicks who maybe don't love you, but you can love them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So many Knicks don't love me, though. So many.
What, like 11? 12? I don't know how many. How many people are actually on a basketball team? I'm not really sure. You shouldn't. I'm assuming you should know that.
That's 12.
There you go. I was close. That's pretty good.
Right.
It's 11 plus. It's 11 plus a dog. I think is how it works, right?
Yeah. Take the dog. All right, Mac. You got another Nick.
Well, speaking of dogs, we got Nick Nolte wearing his dead dog's pelt to the Oscars. That wasn't weird.
I did not know that.
You didn't? Yeah, when it was. What was it? The Fighter? Well, that was him. No, that was Mickey. Oh, dang it! I confused him with Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
That's a common. I'll give you that. They're one and the same.
All right, last Nick. Eric, you're one last Nick.
Hey, how about Nicolas Cage? The great Nick Cage.
You're good.
He and Nick Nolte should do something together, and they can be both weird at the same time.
That's good.
Boy, put the bunny in the box.
Ooh, I'm surprised Mac didn't go with Nick Fury.
Oh, of course. Well, I did talk about him earlier, but yeah.
No, too late. Fury.
And
so, smudges from the record.
So many great Knicks.
So many Knicks. That don't have silent K's. All right. Well, enough of this. Enough of this tomfoolery. Thank you for listening. Friday Filibuster at DVDBird.com is our email address. You knew the routine. Thank you. Have a good weekend, Mac. Take us away.
Doc Bruce Banner, belted by gamma rays, turned into the Hulk. Ain't he unglamorous?